This is Ken Lubin, the host and founder of the Executive Athletes Podcast, and welcome to this week's episode. I want to thank everyone that's been listening, and thank you for the comments and feedback. They're awesome and an incredible help in this journey to making this podcast better and better each episode. Once again, like always, this is unscripted and unedited, as I believe it's the best way to get to really know the guest. This week's guest is a legend in the endurance cycling world, and his name is Hunter Allen. He's a co-author of Training and Racing with a Power Meter and Cutting Edge Cycling. He's also the co-developer of Training Peaks, WKO Plus software, and founder of Peaks Coaching Group. Widely known as one of the top experts in the world of coaching endurance athletes using power meters, Hunter Allen is the founder of Peaks Coaching Group, co-founder of Training Peaks software, and has been instrumental in developing and spreading the power training principles. Hunter has traveled to over 20 countries and taught thousands of cycling coaches and riders the principles of power training. Hunter is a USA Cycling Level 1 coach, was the 2008 BMX technical coach for the Beijing Olympics, and has taught US cycling power certification courses since 2005. As a former professional cyclist on the Navigator team, Hunter has been coaching endurance athletes since 1995. And his athletes have achieved more than 2,000 victories and numerous national, world championship, and Olympic medals. Hunter is known as the coach's coach and frequently has coaches from around the world consulting with him to learn more about the latest in cycling and triathlon training principles. He is a sought-after consultant for many endurance-oriented tech companies and has worked with numerous companies to develop products for the cycling world. So, Hunter, welcome aboard. I'm psyched to have you on the show. And tell us a little bit about who Hunter Allen is.
Oh, well, thanks, Ken. I'm super, super excited to be here. And this is a great honor. So thank you so much. And thank you for that great introduction. You know, it's been a lot of fun, and I've been very, very fortunate to still continue to live my dream and to have my passion become my career. And still get to talk about cycling and training, get to ride my bicycle and coach people. And that's been a lot of fun. And you know, it really came about because as I was trying to become a professional athlete, a professional cyclist, there were no coaches back in the late 80s and early 90s. There was just nobody who did that. And so I felt like, wow, you know, I just lost a couple of years of not actually being able to achieve my potential with just, you know, hit and miss training, trial and error. And so when I retired from pro cycling, I realized that I had this incredible base of knowledge that I should share with others. And I felt like, wow, this is an obligation for me to say, hey, you know, let's share this information. Let's make as many people as fast as they possibly can be and achieve their dreams and maybe at the same time improve their lives as well. So that's really been my mission ever since 1997.
That's amazing. No, I remember back in the early 90s as well, I was trying to become the illustrious Cat 2 or whatever in cycling, and I was turned on to Joe Friel, the coaching, you know, the coach way back then. And I think he was one of the first guys that was actually really doing it remote. And it was a game changer. It was like, holy cow. And then, you know, now with guys like you, I remember doing phone calls and like fax machines, right? That's what we did, and had the mail training back and forth. And I'm sure it's a completely different world in today's coaching.
Absolutely. And yes, that's exactly what happened back in the day. I mean, I used to write all of my training plans in a Word document and then fax them out to everybody. It was like, wow. But now it's very different. I mean, we've been able to create some amazing tools. I was very fortunate all along the way being able to create a piece of software back in the day. We called it Cycling Peaks software. That was the first software that analyzed power meter data. And then we merged that company with Joe Friel's company. Joe and Dirk started a company.
Oh, nice.
Another guy named Gear Fisher. They called it trainingbible.com. And that was kind of the first online company to create a calendar and a way to create a little periodization you know, virtual coach. And that was, then we merged those two companies in 2005. So Cycling Peaks and Training Bible became Training Peaks. And since then, I mean, you know, that just continued to evolve and evolve and evolve. I've since sold my equity out of that, but has been a lot of fun to see how many people we could touch and how many people we could improve their cycling and triathlon and running and every way of their life.
That's super cool. You know, talk to us a bit about, you know, your philosophy on training, right? I think, you know, we all have our own philosophies, but you're one of the, you know, you're one of the leading guys out there. Talk to us about your philosophy on training for cycling, running, endurance sports.
Oh, that's a great question. You know, my philosophy has been has evolved over time, just like all of us do, you know, and I achieved success through a lot of hard work. I just that's what I knew to do. Like, I'm going to outwork everybody. And that was the goal, was to if I thought that my competitors were doing 10 hill repeats, I would do 15. If I thought my competitors were riding 80 miles, I would ride 100 miles. So I went about it as like, I'm just going to outwork everybody. And that does work to an extent,
you know, until it doesn't,
and you get tired and you get fatigued and you can't recover and all those things. And so that really formed a big part of my coaching philosophy, and that, you know, it does just take a lot of hard work, and the more you can put in, the better off you are able to improve and adapt and get stronger from it. At the same time, the understanding of training with a power meter, we've been able to really optimize that. And so taking that idea of really hard work, applying it with data analytics and saying, well, how many intervals do you actually need to do? At what point is there a diminishing marginal return for what number of intervals? Is it number 10? Is it number 12? Is it number 15? Or maybe it's number 4. And so that has been a real revelation and revolution in the cycling world that has allowed us to be more precise with our coaching and with our training. So that's been also incorporated into my coaching philosophy. And then lastly, my third point is making sure that we're giving ourselves the rest that we need and listening to our body. So many of us, you know, I mean, I know the data, right? You send me, I get all this data from all of these different devices, from power meters and GPS monitors and running devices and swimming devices, et cetera. So I know the data, but Ken, I don't necessarily know how you feel today. And so that's something that I have to have that subjective piece as well to bring the whole package together.
No, and that's, you know, I'm sort of old school with my training and what I've done, and I'm sure you've talked to plenty of people, and it's really about feel, right? And understanding, all right, can I go hard today? Can I not go hard today? But I think as people get older as well, it's recovery is more and more important. Yeah, I can tell you for myself, I feel in my head, I think I'm 20 years old and I can just go out there and hammer it every single day. But at 46, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a little bit more sore. It takes a little bit more to, you know, get out there on the bike or go to the gym or go for a run. And what I've noticed too is, you know, I don't know, I'm sure power meters can do this. To be honest with you, I've never used one, but is my warm up needs to be so much longer than it's ever been in the past.
Yes, that's so true. That's so true. And I tell you, you know, I'm 50 now, so I'm feeling some of those aging effects as well. And that's one of the things I remember, you know, being in my early 20s and riding with some really fit masters riders in their 40s and stuff. And they used to always complain, man, we got to take it easier in the first hour. And I'm like, what is wrong with you guys? Like, let's go. And now I'm like, oh, wow. You know, it definitely takes that 30 or 45 minutes or even 60 minutes to start feeling better and better and better. And oh, now I can do these intervals. Now I'm ready to go. And so I think that's one of the things that aging does. And then, like you said, recovery is critical. You know, the things that we used to be able to do where we could train Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, rest Friday, and then train hard Saturday, Sunday, it's just not possible when you get a little bit older. And so, I'm going to go really hard on Tuesday. Probably need to take an easy day on Wednesday. Can probably do a pretty hard workout on Thursday, a rest day Friday, and then one day on the weekend, you know, make it big. And the other day needs to be pretty easy. So, you know, going from 5 days a week of training hard down to 3 days is a big difference as we age. And so you have to take that into account because it's critical. And one of the tools that I'm using that I really like right now is the Whoop. I don't know, have you heard of the Whoop?
I have, yes.
Yeah. So the Whoop is a device that you wear on your wrist, and it captures a bunch of different things. One, it captures, there's some accelerometers in there, so it captures when you're moving. It captures your heart rate. It captures your heart rate variability. And then it also can tell you how much sleep and the type of sleep that you have. And that's become a really nice tool to help us with recovery because it helps to understand what the other stress in life is being, you know, how impactful is that on your cycling? Because again, a lot of us as masters athletes, we have the rest of our life is really the thing that controls how quickly we improve and how much rest we need. So it's incredible. Heart rate variability is for those of you who don't know who are listening, heart rate variability is the measurement of time, how much time between heartbeats. And so when you're really fit and fresh, then there's a tremendous variability between your heartbeats. Your heartbeat is not just like ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. It's like ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. You know, it moves around. There's variability. And we're talking microseconds, all right? It's a really small amount of time here. But when you're fatigued and tired and don't have enough rest, then your heartbeat becomes, the time between your heartbeats become very stable. So the variability goes down. And so that's a key metric to understand in how recovered we are, because that helps us to understand how our heart rate responds to the training load.
Interesting. And when I train with younger guys or younger people, I always tell them it's almost a minute per year of how old you are before you can warm up. So I'm at 46. I'm like, you know, last year it's almost like on the minute, like, all right, now I'm ready to go. The engine's stoked, right? And go from there.
That's a good one. I like that. I haven't heard that before, but I totally agree.
Right. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I remember someone telling me that years ago. I'm like, you're crazy. Next thing you know, it's like, yeah, that's what I'm living on is really what it is to, you know, to be at optimal performance. I actually tell my kids ski race, and they don't listen to me at all, but I always tell them, you know, start warming up at the start. When you get into the start, you want to almost be sweating. And that's the same thing with cycling and intervals. It's like when you start, you want to be hot. You don't want to be cold.
Exactly. Absolutely. It's very, very critical. And I think that one thing that a lot of athletes don't do enough either is stretching. You know, I mean, stretching before a big session, before an event, before your hard intervals makes a huge difference, no matter what your age is. One, to start to loosen some of the tendons and ligaments around your joints. Two, to help kind of actually create space in the joints so that they can move a little more freely. And then to make sure that those muscles aren't becoming so bound up and tight. As a cyclist or a triathlete, you know, our tight hamstrings are very, very common. Tight gluteals are very common. And that can lead to some problems down the road. I mean, gosh, you know, I want to be 70 years old and have all my vertebrae in alignment, and I have a herniated disc, and I want to be able to walk carefully and smoothly and with energy and vigor. And so, you know, when you kind of get to a certain point, it's like, you know, wow, you know, I love this sport. This is an amazing sport, but it also helps me to be young and will keep me fit and healthy as I go throughout. And so stretching is a real key component to doing that, before and after, if you can.
Yeah. Talk to us about stretching, right? I think that's one thing most people ignore because like, yeah, I don't need to do that, right? And it actually takes quite a bit of time to do it. What type of stretching should cyclists and runners be doing?
Well, you know, so one of the, I'm a big yoga proponent. So I tell you what, if you could take a once a week yoga class, if you could squeeze that into your life some way, that alone would make a huge difference. And I'm not a big advocate of the hot yoga where you're, you know, jumping up and down, doing tons of sun salutations and all this stuff and getting a workout in. That's not really the purpose for endurance athletes to go to yoga class. We get our exercise through our sports. We go to yoga class to basically say, okay, look, I need to recover and enhance my recovery and improve my cycling, triathlon, running, whatever that is. So I would recommend a more restorative or a slower class, to be honest. If you can't do yoga, then there are a few stretches that you can do that make a huge difference. Number one is called pigeon pose in yoga, and that is one where it helps to stretch the piriformis muscle, which attaches around the back of your hip in between the sciatic nerve. Think of the sciatic nerve on the back of your hip there on your underneath your buttocks as a like the hand with five branches. And then the nerve attaches between the middle and ring fingers of those branches. And if the piriformis attaches, well, the piriformis attaches right there between those two fingers. And if that gets tighter, it wraps all the way around your hip and then goes down your leg. As that gets tighter, it pulls on the sciatic nerve. So it's a very common injury for a lot of cyclists and runners to have some sciatic pain. And that is no fun. So just doing the pigeon pose alone could make a huge difference in preventing that and keeping those. And then the hamstrings, I mean, you know, Ken, I joke all the time in my seminars and camps and everything and say, hey, you know, I can pick out, if you give me a picture of 40 people and 20 of them are cyclists, but don't tell me which 20 are cyclists, I can tell you exactly which 20 are cyclists because all those people are standing there with their knees bent because we don't straighten our legs. And so, yeah, you set your seat height so that your leg never straightens out. Well, what that does is that creates tight hamstrings and then you stand that way. And then if you say, oh gosh, you know, I'm going to stand up straight. You're like, oh, this hurts my knees. Right. And so we just kind of stand without straightening our knees and our legs. So, hamstrings are so critical. I mean, everybody listening to this, if you're a cyclist, triathlete, you should be able to at least put, oh, sorry, I hear the phone.
No thing. Problem. We got real life.
Yeah, there you go.
My dog may bark along the way too, so don't worry about it.
Exactly. You should be able to put your fists on the ground. Right? I'd love for you to be able to put your palms on the ground, but you should at least be able to put your fists on the ground and have the leg straight because that would make a huge difference in keeping those hamstrings lengthened. So I'm big on those. Keep those hips open. And then as a cyclist too, we see too many people rounding their shoulders and collapsing in their chest. So opening your shoulders, opening your chest is really great. So a favorite pose of mine is up dog, which opens that chest and pushes that chest out and starts to bring the shoulders back. And because, you know, again, I don't want to be the 70, 80-year-old guy who's all hunched over, been pushed down on by gravity for 70 years. And now I'm like this old dude who's shuffling around with a crunched over back. I want to be straight and tall and let gravity go through me and not just push down on me.
Right. That's stretching, I think, is a big, big component of all of this stuff and mobility too. That's, you know, that's something as I've gotten older, I've really tried to focus on is my hip mobility and, you know, different ways to open things up because it is crazy of how, you know, how tight you can get if you're not paying attention to it. Like you said, it can become detrimental in your performance.
Yeah, absolutely. No, definitely a critical piece. And it's tough, you know, because it's not something that's like, oh, wow, this is super fun or whatever. And that's why I think that it makes it nice if you just kind of, if you commit to a day a week, you're going to go to yoga class and then you're there and you do it. And then you just have that nice commitment. So, but yeah, that's another great tip.
Perfect. Talk to us about power meter training. Why is it needed? Why should we be using power meters?
So one of the things that we never had for a really long time was the ability to actually quantify the work that we're doing. And so we had heart rate monitors, and heart monitors are great. They're a channel of data that we need, but heart rate is a response to the training. So let's say your heart rate goes to 150. We don't know exactly why. Maybe you were sprinting up a hill. Maybe you were riding as fast as you could down a straight flat road. Maybe you had 5 cups of coffee and you're on the start line of the next race and you're just excited. It doesn't tell us how much work you're actually doing. And so a power meter tells us the work. It quantifies in wattage, in watts, how much work you can do. So wattage is a simple multiplication of how hard you pedal times how fast you're pedaling. And that's really all it is. So we can create 1,000 watts by pedaling really quickly, 150 RPM or something, but using a very small gear. Maybe, you know, if you have a compact crankset, 34, and then maybe a 28 in the back. So you can create it that way. Or you can put it in your big chain ring, let's say a 53, and you've got a 12 cog in the back. Push really slowly, but with a lot of force, a lot of strength, a lot of muscular strength. You can also create 1,000 watts. So we can create it in a different way, but we're quantifying it. So it's very similar to weightlifting in that instead of just going into the gym and picking up a bunch of random rocks, not knowing what they weigh, we have plates now. We know, well, this weighs, you know, 20 kilos and this weighs, you know, 35 pounds or whatever that is, but we quantify that. And then you can say, well, you know, I'm getting stronger. I can now lift, you know, 50 pounds. I can now lift 60 pounds. I can now lift 70 pounds. So the same thing in cycling. That's all we're doing is quantifying that work. And what that's done is it's allowed us to do some really exciting things. Number one, and I mentioned that earlier, it's allowed us to quantify the right amount of work for you today. And so what I call optimal intervals, the optimal number of intervals or intervals to exhaustion. And so that helps us to say, well, let's say, for example, I'm doing 1 minute intervals. And I know that I need to, you know, reach a certain number of watts in order to train that anaerobic system. That's the system that we train when we do 1 minute intervals. So I'm going to go out and do 10 intervals. Well, the first one we do, let's say I do 440 watts. The second one I do 420 watts. The third one I do 400 watts. I'm getting a little fatigued. But that's the third one. We call that the repeatable interval. And the first two, we just kind of throw away. Those are the intervals that you're really fresh. You had a lot of anaerobic work capacity. They don't really count. So now I look at that third interval and I say, well, that was 400 watts. When I see a 10% drop off in that one, then I'm going to stop doing intervals because now I'm not really training hard enough to create enough stimulus, to create enough stress that my body's going to improve from. So maybe you get out to 10 and you're doing, well, so that's easy, right? Easy math, 10% off of 400, that's 40 watts, subtract 40 watts, that's 360 watts. So I'm going to keep doing intervals till I get to 360. So you get to 10 and you do 380 watts. Well, gosh, keep on going. You do 11 and you do 370. You do 12 and you do 365. You do 13, you do 360. And you're like, all right, well, I'm an overachiever, so I got to do another one, right? So you do another one and you do 330 and now you're exhausted, right? You have worked that system to exhaustion and there's no sense in doing more intervals now. It's time to turn around and go home, right? So that's one of the key things that you can do in the workout itself for the power meter. The other thing, the second thing out of the three, is that we can quantify how much training load you can handle over time. We call this the chronic training load. How much you can handle in 6 weeks, 6 months, a year, 2 years, etc. And we can identify, should you train 12 hours a week? Should you train, can you get the same training benefit from 10 hours? Maybe you need to train 13 and you'll get an extra 10% just with one additional hour per week. So we can really quantify that chronic training load and define what is the key amount for you in order to train the most effective and efficiently. The third thing is, and this is the holy grail of coaching. As a coach, I want to, I can give anybody a training plan. Hey, Ken, here's a plan. Go do this plan, right? You're going to get better. You're doing a structured plan. You've never done structured intervals before. You've never had specific rest days and training days, et cetera. You're going to get better. But Ken, when you come to me and you say, hey, Hunter, you know what? I want to peak and have the best ride of my life on May the 15th because that's my A priority goal for the year, and I want to crush that goal. So my job, the holy grail of coaching, is to make sure that you, on that day, have the best ride of your life. And that's the critical thing, right? You have the highest level of fitness, the highest functional threshold power, we call it. You're also fresh, so you feel like $1 million. And then you have the best place that you can be in to have the peak performance that you want on that day. So that's something that's really changed in training with a power meter. We can now begin to predict when you will have a peak performance and then plan accordingly.
Wow. That's amazing. They can almost come down to, you know, that exact science, but it is, it's right. It's a physical body. It's physics, it's science, it's biology, it's everything right then and there.
Absolutely. You know, and that's something that has absolutely revolutionized cycling. It has really been it's been a lot of fun to be a part of. And it's allowed everyone, from professionals to beginners to masters athletes in their 70s, to optimize their training time and peak for the event that they want to peak for, which again is fun. It's a fun journey.
So talk to us about fueling for power, right? Is there any food, you know, how do you fuel for optimal power? Is there supplements? Is there a specific diet, or is it just as varied as like we all are, right? You know, the famous sentence, you're unique just like everyone else.
Well, I think that there are some critical things. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we are all unique and everybody responds a little differently to the different types of foods. So there does have to be some trial and error there. That's one of the things that continues to advance as we learn more and more about how we respond to foods. But there are some key things that go throughout all of the different across all the different athletes. Number one, we know that recovery, there's a small window of recovery after your workout is over. So when you do a hard interval session or a ride or a triathlon or a long run, 15 to 45 minutes after your workout or event is over, we need to get carbs and protein back in so that you recover quickly. So you rebuild those glycogen stores, that we repair some muscle damage. We are ready to go for the next day. So that's critical. There's some studies out there that show us that about 2.5 grams of carbohydrate to 1 gram of protein is an optimal mix of protein to carbs, so carbs to protein, to help produce the most insulin, which you want a big insulin response after your workout to get those carbs and protein in. So that's a critical piece. Another one that makes a big difference is, and this is something that is very difficult for vegetarians, is iron. And it's difficult for all endurance athletes, but vegetarians especially, because they're not eating red meat. For the rest of the folks who eat red meat, it's a little easier because red meat contains hemi iron, which is the most bioavailable by your body, and we use a tremendous amount of iron. Iron, think of iron as the glue between the oxygen molecule and your red blood cell. So if you don't have iron, you can't bond that oxygen molecule to the red blood cell, and you can't get oxygen to your working muscles. So it's really critical, and we use it, right? It's not like, oh, it's recycled and used over. It's used and then it's gone kind of thing. So you have to constantly be replenishing your iron. Women especially who have menstrual cycles, that's a huge issue for them as well. Every single woman that I've ever coached, that's the first thing that we do is get them on a good iron supplement. Ferrous sulfate with vitamin C, absolutely critical. Most men that I coach also are on ferrous sulfate as well because, again, we use iron. Another thing that I'd like to mention and kind of moves into the performance enhancing type thing is beets. Beet juice, concentrated beets is a huge performance enhancer. It is an incredible natural way to help carry more oxygen in your blood. Beets are very high in nitrates. You have to eat a ton of them, so it's much easier to have a concentrated drink or powder and do that about 45 minutes to an hour before your ride or workout or run, whatever it is. And what it does is the nitrates go into your system, they're absorbed into your gut, then they come back up through into your saliva as nitrites, and then you swallow your saliva, they go back into your intestinal digestive system and are converted into nitric oxide, which then go into your bloodstream and help your heart and blood, red blood cells carry more oxygen. A very complicated work.
It's like the penguins feeding their young, right? You know, they chew their food and then stick it in the mouth of their young. It's similar of how it comes back through your saliva.
Exactly. So you can't brush your teeth. So just don't do your beets and then brush your teeth, then go for a ride. Just, you know, don't brush your teeth or do mouthwash. It is a major, major performance enhancer. I mean, for a lot of people, it's you know, we joke and call it beet doping because it could be 15 watts improvement at what we call your functional threshold power, which, I mean, you could train a whole year and not get 15 watts. And so if you get, you just have some beet juice and get 15 watts, it's like, wow, this stuff is magic.
Well, don't they use it also for heart patients? It's been around forever. It's been a heart patient thing forever.
Exactly. Nitroglycerin.
Exactly.
Right? That's what exactly the same effect is. So, and for those of you who are over 40 and have maybe some of that erectile dysfunction stuff, that even helps that. So it's just a great thing all around.
Walking around with Beet Elite or Beet Powder all the time, you know, with you.
Exactly.
But, oh, that's amazing. So what about, you know, what types of power meters do you recommend? I know now like Shimano has their own, they're all coming out on their own. Is SRM still around? What's your suggestion there?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I get it very, very often. It's a hard one to answer because back in the day, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, there were only a few power meters. And there were some good ones and there were some bad ones. Now they have evolved and they're really good. Like there are a lot of power meters that are just excellent now. I mean, they just don't have any issues. We used to have issues with rain and braking and, you know, all kinds of crazy things as the industry was getting started. But that just has gone away. So now when I'm asked that question, the first thing that I ask is, you know, tell me about your bike, you know, and do you change bicycles on a regular basis? If you're one of these people who gets a new bike every 2 or 3 years, well, gosh, the bottom bracket widths are so different in these bike frames now. If you buy a power meter that mounts in the crank or in the bottom bracket, it could be that in 2 or 3 years you buy a different frame that won't, that that power meter won't work for anymore. So if you're that person, I would stay away from a crank based one. The next thing I ask is, how attached are you to your wheels? Maybe you're a triathlete and you've got a set of wheels for a lot of wind, you've got a set of wheels for no wind, and you've got a set where you're riding your disc wheels or something. Then you probably aren't going to like having a power meter that's in your wheel, in the hub. Now, if you travel a lot, then the pedals are a great option, because you can take the pedals off your bike, you can put them on a rental bike wherever you are. I even have clients who travel so much that they just take a pedal wrench and pedals with them. They take the pedals off the hotel gym bike, stick the pedals on the hotel gym bike. They have their Garmin with them. They've got a power meter on whatever piece of junk gym bike they're at the hotel. And so that's a really easy thing to do. So there are lots of different places to measure power, and it really depends a little bit on you know, some of these factors. I like the pedal-based power meters, the PowerTap P2s, there's one called the Favero pedals that are come out of Italy. They're also very good. The Garmin pedals are okay. They still have some problems. I'm not as big a fan for those. The crank-based ones, the Cork is excellent. There's another one called InfoCrank that makes a good one. Of course, SRM, they've been around forever. They do a great job. The wheel, the PowerTap Hub is a great wheel as well. That's one that just works, and it's great for coaches, because then you can kind of move it between bikes. So I think that really, hopefully that helps make a decision.
No, I think so. That helps. That definitely helps. It's more or less comes down to your lifestyle. really is what it comes down to. It's sort of the same thing. Like I said, you know, in the bike world is almost coincides with the ski world, because it's, you know, you're using different bikes or different sports and different equipment and everything else. But, yeah. You know, so that is, you know, this has been awesome. We could go for hours and hours. We're already well into, you know, 40 minutes here, because it's just fascinating. And I love talking about this stuff, because it's changing so much, and it has changed so much. And yeah, I'm always talking with different people about training, and this just opened my world to a whole new world. So Hunter, I really want to thank you for that right now. And I'm sure we can do a session number two, probably more specific down the road, but this was just amazing. So thanks for allowing me to dig into your brain a bit.
No, it's my pleasure, Ken. I love to share the knowledge. I mean, again, my mission is still the same, and to share this knowledge with as many people as possible to help them achieve their dreams, you know, achieve their goals. And I hope that in learning some of the principles of power training and learning some of some of my coaching philosophy that also bleeds into the rest of their life, and that creates excellence in the rest of their life. And so if I can do that for you know, a few people, then that's what keeps me getting up excited every morning.
Perfect. And Hunter, where can people find you? Where can they find out more about your coaching and information about you?
Absolutely. So my website is peakscoachinggroup.com, Peaks, P-E-A-K-S, coachinggroup.com. That's a great place to go. I've got a Facebook page. Again, Peaks Coaching Group, just search that on Facebook. And then I've got an Instagram too. Hunter Peaks is my Instagram. So lots of different places that you can find me, or you can just Google Hunter Allen and cycling in Google, and I'm pretty much dominate the first page.
Perfect. That's the goal, right? Having your first name dominate the first page of Google. So, well, Hunter, this was amazing. Again, we should do another one down the road. I think this is killer. I'll have a million more questions as well. But, and to everyone listening, if anyone has any comments, questions, feedback, feel free to email me at ken@executiveathletes.com. And if you can't get in touch with Hunter directly, which I'm sure you can, or you can email me to, you know, try to get some questions asked for it, that's great. And make sure you sign up and subscribe to the podcast. So Hunter, again, this was awesome. I appreciate it. And hopefully everyone that's listening goes out there and checks you out and goes out there and crushes it.
Oh, that sounds great, Ken. Thanks again. What an honor.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.